If Jesus Christ is the center of Christianity, and he is, and if the final week of Christ's life is the center of history, and it is, then certainly the moment of Christ's death on Calvary is the center of it all. That moment is the focal point of all history and all words when Jesus cried, "It is finished." Tetelestai, one Greek word, is a crucial expression of that pivotal moment in history, friends. Elsewhere in the Gospels, we see that there were seven expressions, seven words that Jesus declared on the cross. "It is finished," or tetelestai, is the sixth of those seven. Just before Jesus died, after he had been given a drink, Jesus uttered this loud cry. Friends, this cry was not a cry of defeat. This cry was not a gasping sob of a war-torn man, beaten and bruised though he was. And this cry was not a resigned declaration of a person who was simply accepting his fate. No. No, this cry, tetelestai, at the center of the single most important event of all of human history, was a triumphant declaration by the Son of God that the turning point in history had been reached. It was a victorious proclamation that the work Jesus had been sent into the world to do had been accomplished. It was an announcement of that accomplishment to the Father and to all who would hear. So what did Jesus accomplish? What did he finish? John 17:4, Jesus says in his high priestly prayer, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." That word is a form of the same word Jesus uttered on the cross. In John 13:1, we read that before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus finished everything that God accomplished him, or that God had set, the Father had set out for him to do, to accomplish. So what did he finish? I'll give you four. He finished bringing his message of the gospel to people like the Samaritan woman. When his disciples asked him about his hunger in John 4, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work," which later in that chapter, just a few verses down, we see his conversation with the Samaritan woman. Clearly the most important work, I'm jumping ahead of myself here, his miracles. Jesus did many, many miracles to demonstrate his deity. The apostles after him continued in those miracles, but Jesus completed the miracles that were set out for him. John 5:36. "But the testimony I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." Going to the cross to be the propitiation for our sin. We don't use the word propitiation every day, but it means one who satisfies the wrath by making a sacrifice sufficient to appease the wrath of the one who's offended. right? We think of it in Greek mythology, and people would make sacrifices to appease the gods. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was sufficient, complete, enough. All that was required to fulfill the payment, the penalty due to Almighty God for your sin and for mine. In John 3, 14 and 15, John writes, "And Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up in order that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." You see, it's a simple message that when we recognize that God is holy and that we are unholy sinners, when we recognize that our sin means that we deserve to be separated from God for all of eternity in the presence of his active wrath for our sin. When we recognize that God sent his Son, born of a virgin, into the world that he might be lifted up in order that all who would believe in him would have eternal life. We ask, surely it can't be that simple just to repent and believe? Surely I must do something. Surely I must contribute to this work of salvation. Well, you have contributed with your sin. You and I have contributed with every vile thought, every action, every inaction that we are called by God to do. We have contributed. And yet Jesus came in order to be lifted up, that all who believe on him will be saved. In John 19, just before the verse where Jesus cries out, "It is finished," he talks about the scriptures being fulfilled. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, he said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." And a jar of full sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge of it in the sour wine on a hyssop branch, and they held it up to his mouth. And when he had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Friends, the work of Jesus was finished and the scriptures had been fulfilled. "It is finished" describes the purposes of God fulfilled in the work of the Son of God. And to show this point, it's interesting to go back just a few verses earlier when Jesus had been beaten within an inch of his life. He had been mocked by having a crown of thorns placed on his head and then pressed into his head, and having a purple robe put on him as they mocked him as the King of the Jews. Pilate thought this would have been enough. Pilate didn't think he was guilty, as we heard earlier. Pilate thought he was innocent. So Pilate thought, well, I'll have him flogged, and then surely the people will be satisfied and this crowd will dissipate. But the crowd wouldn't have it. And the crowd gathered and they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him. We have a law, and he ought to die because he has made himself out to be the Son of God." And now Pilate is terrified. His appeasement, or his attempts to appease the crowd, have failed. So he leaves the onlooking view to the crowd. He goes back in to talk to Jesus. And he asks, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave Pilate no answer. The man who's, from his vantage point, had all of the power in the world, it would seem, right there. And Jesus wouldn't answer him. So Pilate, you know, he's incensed, he's enraged. And he says, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you? And I have authority to crucify you." And Jesus responded to Pilate, "You have no authority over me at all unless it has been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." You see, no one took Jesus' life. Pilate did not take Jesus' life. The Jews who had handed him over had not taken Jesus' life. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the only authority that Pilate had was the authority given to him by Almighty God. We must remember this when we face trials and tribulations and afflictions and difficulties and we think everyone else around me has the power and I have none. No power is given to anyone that God the Father does not say, "This is good to accomplish my purposes," which many times, most times, we do not understand. But we look back to Jesus' words to Pilate and we remember, no authority has come to you that the Father has not given. After all that Pilate tried to do to be innocent of Jesus' blood, the crowd would choose to have Barabbas released. It's interesting that Barabbas means son of a father. Friends, nothing you and I do will add to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross that accomplished the full payment for your sins and mine. But isn't it so countercultural to the way that we think? We just want to contribute something because we feel guilt, as we should. We feel shame, as we should not, once we have believed the gospel. You see, shame seeks to drive you away from the very one who loves you the most. Guilt, well, we live in such a therapeutic culture that seeks to alleviate any sense of guilt in people's lives when there really is a whole lot of true guilt in the world. And if we try to escape the genuine guilt that is ours, we will spend our lives living in shame, which God does not want for us because he sent his Son to purchase our peace. He is our peace. A preacher, Donald Barnhouse, tells of visiting a 16th century Augustinian monastery and palace near Madrid, Spain. It's called El Escorial. It's a magnificent building. And the architect who made it made such a flat arch that the king was frightened. And he said, "You must build a support in the center." And the architect said, "No, it's supported. It's designed right, and it will be fine." The king wouldn't have it. The king was fearful of it. So he made him build one. Years later, after the king died, the architect revealed that the column was 1/4 inch short from the ceiling. Now that's brave. When they give tours of this palace, they run a lath through it to show people who visit that it does not, in fact, touch the top of the arch. That column, that archway, has not come down at all. 1/4 inch is Not very much when you're talking about a massive structure. And it hasn't moved. As we contemplate the death of Christ, friends, we often think about the massive work of God through Jesus on the cross. In fact, for us, we look at it and we think, oh, it is so great. It is so grand, but surely it's not enough. Surely I must bring something. Surely I must build a support of works. Surely I must build a support of love. Surely I must build a support of self-justification. Surely I must build a support of knowledge. Surely I must build a support of anything to add support to the need of my salvation. And God would say, no, it will never make it to the top. Because my purposes set out from before the foundation of the world were to accomplish your salvation through the death of my Son, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the only one that could come to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law through his life and willingly make his way to the cross. And for the joy set before him, endure the cross, scorning its shame, eventually to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. Oh, friends, what an insult to God when we think, oh, if I just add this, if I just do this, it will make me worthy of your love. No, we're worthy, yes. We're worthy for one reason only. God declared that those who believe on him would be saved. We're worthy as image bearers of God who look to Jesus, the Lamb of God, lifted up on that cross, who finished everything that God set out for him to, who finished, who completed, who accomplished everything that you need, everything that I need. And when Jesus uttered that cry, he bowed his head and he prayed, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last and he died. He died the death required by sin. What do you do with that? Well, we often think, give me some application, give me something to go do. And as Aaron said earlier, meditate, contemplate, think on, read about, spend time basking in the kindness of God that he would send his Son to be the full sin sacrifice for you, for me, that he would accomplish everything the Father set out for him and would cry, Tetelestai, it is finished. Worship him.